It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon, welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big weekend of Scottish football. Rangers are looking to cut Celtic's gap at the top when Dundee come to Ibrox. Brendan Rodgers' side have the chance to respond at Kilmarnock tomorrow. Before we get to that though, Livy Hibs, St Mirren, Ross County, and two in the must-win category for Motherwell and Aberdeen against St Johnstone and Hearts respectively. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this afternoon you have Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Title or turmoil? Those are the options on offer today. For Rangers, it's all about reducing the gap between themselves and Celtic at the top of the table to 5 points, putting Brendan Rodgers' side under pressure on the plastic at Kilmarnock tomorrow. Turmoil you can find in several places. Motherwell, no wins in 12. Will it be 13th time lucky for Stuart Kettlewell when St Johnstone go to Fir Park? Aberdeen are second bottom of the table, and Barry Robson's jacket is on a shaky peg ahead of Hearts' visit to Pittodrie. Livy are bottom of the table, and they haven't scored a goal in the last 8.5 hours while losing 6 games on the bounce. There are going to be several ding-dongs merrily on high.
Yeah, it's a big day across the country, particularly for Rangers, who can eat into Celtic's advantage. But Motherwell and Aberdeen, huge day ahead. Now Barry Robson's got the cup final just round the corner. He could do a win probably just to keep his job before that cup final, and down the Championship as well. Raith Rovers overtake Dundee United. It's an opportunity for United to get back in top today when they host their United.
I echo what the boys say. Not a lot to add to that. I think we've got an exciting afternoon, plenty of goals ahead and plenty of drama. The guys are right. There's a couple of managers in the Premier League. The big day need results.
Lots to look forward to. I know the drill. You're probably either sheltering from this terrible weather, or you're getting dragged around the shops doing the old Christmas shopping. Hopefully you've got us on in the car. We'll take you through all the build up, let you know what's happening on the pitch, and then of course afterwards your chance to have your say as well. So buckle up, because one thing Scottish football guarantees at any time of year is a bit of drama and controversy and plenty of talking points. So let's kick things off with a trip to Rangers against Dundee. Andrew McLean is there.
Yes, well, injuries have been so bad for Rangers that Philip Clement is sick of talking about them. More casualties this week. Tom Lawrence out again, this time until at least the winter break, the same timescale for Danilo as well. Injured in a challenge against Hearts. It's an area that has been a bit of a problem for Rangers this season in terms of finding that consistent goal scorer in the number 9 position. A bit of a team news spoiler as well today. It's the turn of Cyril Dessos to try and provide that clinical touch that Philip Clement was saying they were missing on Wednesday night at Tynecastle. They did have that clinical touch though the last time they faced Dundee, a 5-0 win at Dens Park at the start of last month. That was a blot on a season that Tony Docherty can certainly be happy with from his team so far. We always talk about how tight that middle of the table is, but just 4 Premiership defeats this campaign for Dundee. Only Celtic and Rangers have lost fewer than them. They're 7th in the table, but do have at least one game in hand on every single team above them. Going to team news, some interesting stuff out with the injuries as well. Connor Goldson is rested for this one. He drops to the bench, one of 4 players out of the starting lineup. Tom Lawrence and Danilo, of course, injured. Ross McCausland is on the bench for this one as well. In come John Suter, Jose Cifuentes, Ravi Matondo starts, as well as Cyril Dessers, as I mentioned earlier. So Jack Butland in goal, the back 4, James Tavernier, John Suter, Leon Balogun and Borna Barisic, the 2 holding midfielders, John Lundstrom and Jose Cifuentes. It will then be Ravi Matondo, Todd Cantwell and Abdallah Sima all in behind Cyril Dessers. The substitutes for Rangers: McCrory, Yilmaz, Goldson, Lammers, Sterling, Roof, Davies, King and McCausland. As for Dundee, just a 1 change for them for this one, and it's probably a big loss as well. Owen Beck, who's been very impressive for them on loan this season, he drops out of the squad altogether. Ricky Lamy comes in for him. So in goal, it's Trevor Carson. The back three, Juan Portales, Joe Shaughnessy and Ricky Lamy. The wing backs will be Jordan McGee and Aaron Donnelly. The three in midfield, Lyle Cameron, Malachi Boateng and Luke McCowan, Amadou Bakayoko and Zach Rudden, the front two. The substitutes, Lingston's, Kerr, Tiffany, Ashcroft, Mulligan, Robinson, Riley, Robertson and Silla. The referee for this one at Ibrox is Kevin Clancy. The VAR, Stephen Kirkland.
What jumps out at you from the team news, Gordon Dale?
I think Conor Golson been rested. He's usually a mainstay in that the heart of that defence. Gives John Souter an opportunity. Up top, they're going with a bit of pace. Matondo, Sima, who's in brilliant form, you've got to say. Once again, we'll look at Dessers. He's at home against Dundee. I fancy Rangers to win this very comfortably today. They'll create chances, especially with the amount of talent they've got behind Dessers. We especially Cantwell playing in that number 10 position. It's up to the main striker to put the ball in the back of it.
This is reminiscent of that day when Rangers went to Pittodrie and the onus was on them to cut the gap between themselves and Celtic. Celtic having dropped 2 points the day before. Now, today the onus is on Philippe Clement and his players to cut that gap to 5 points. And they have a game in hand over Celtic, and they're putting Celtic under immense pressure at Kilmarnock tomorrow afternoon. So it's unforgiving territory. It doesn't matter about the time of year. There'll be no peace and goodwill to anyone if Rangers don't get 3 points today.
And Mark Wilson, the other big piece of team news is not a surprising one because we knew it yesterday, but for Danilo to be out injured, along with Tom Lawrence for that matter, you know, for the rest of the year, it's another chance, a requirement for Cyril Dessers to come in, I guess, and do a bit more than he's done so far.
Well, it is. He's had plenty of chances so far. And, you know, with Danilo's injury, he finds himself in the starting lineup again. So probably not through merit, but through necessity. It's an opportunity. That's right. Dundee, you would expect Rangers to win it comfortably. You'd expect Rangers, with that three behind Dessers, to create plenty of chances. It's up to him to put the ball in the back of the net and silence some of his critics.
And I guess, Gordon, there is an element of squad rotation here because, you know, Conor Goldson's not unfit. He's on the bench. You take someone like Ross McCausland, who had a pretty good game, parts of it at Tynecastle. He drops to the bench as well. It's five changes in total, and they're not all forced. So clearly a bit of rotation from the manager.
I think the manager came out not that long, I think last week, and said that there was an opportunity for players, even in the January window, to show him what they can do. He's just in the door. He's mixing up. He's using his squad. It looks a strong Rangers side, you've got to say. There are bags of pace in it. Matondo on the right hand side. Seema's in great form, scoring goals again. Cantwell, everybody was talking about it. His natural position, that number 10, where he can create things. And obviously, it's a big game for Souter as well. At one point, you would think that Souter and Golson were the main centre backs. But Balogun's come in, the manager likes him. So it's up to Souter now to get in there and put on a good performance this afternoon.
Of all the 12 teams in the Premiership, Mark Wilson, got this theory that there maybe aren't many, apart from Dundee, whose fan base would say, do you know what, this has been an unequivocal, successful start to the season. Rangers fans clearly want more, they're behind. Celtic fans, even though they're top, probably want a bit more. I think, you know, clearly the teams down the bottom, St Mirren and Dundee, maybe they can only two that you would look at as having, you know, a real positive start to the season. How does that translate to a fixture like this? They probably had their worst performance of the season against Rangers in the delayed game at home.
Yeah, of course, it ended five that night. Could have been a lot more, but I think Dundee certainly loving life in the Premiership so far, adjusted to it well. Tony Docherty, just obviously his first job as a manager, he's taken to it well, but he's compiled a good squad with good players. Listen, there'll be a threat today, there's no doubt about that. I don't think Dundee will just come and try and stonewall Rangers, but I think they've got players who can cause problems. Obviously, Beck missing is a huge blow for them, but they've got players that can score goals and they'll have a go. But Tony Docherty doing a fantastic job. Of course, he's got his eye in the top six, and if you gave him that before the season started, he would have bit your hand off around Christmas time. So well done to him.
Might be a little bit kind to St Mirren. Four losses in their last five games.
I was about to caveat it with maybe they're starting to slide, but
it's all gone.
They would
take pear shape for them.
They would have taken your hand off for fourth place, though. I think that's the point. Up to this point in the season, right? Let's move into must-win territory. Is that fair, Fraser Wishart at Motherwell St Johnstone?
Yeah, I think it is fair, unfortunately, for Stuart Kettlewell, one of the football's good guys and good reputation as a coach and a manager. People like him, but I think his job is under real pressure. And when you get Stuart talking about it openly during the week in his press conferences, he knows they have to get results, can't continue. Then I think he knows himself they need to get a result, and a result very, very quickly. Because not so long ago, you wouldn't have actually thought that these two teams would be on the same points going into this game. St Johnstone had that terrible start, saw Steve McLean lose his job, and Millwall started the season on fire. But a revival and a few wins over Craig Levein, seen St Johnstone climb off the bottom and with a terrible run of results for Motherwell, we've spoken about so many times, being a win today. For St Johnstone, would see them climb above Motherwell. But hard to put your finger on why Motherwell have seen that drop in form. I saw them lose some games here and away from home and actually played very well. But they're certainly losing in recent games too many goals and a heavy defeat in midweek. And the nature of that defeat in Dingwall has heaped more pressure on Stuart Kettlewell. Just 4 points, no wins in 12 games is not good enough. And as Motherwell plunge towards the bottom, the team need a result. And today, if they get a win, it could be just that bit of confidence that could be the one just to turn their season around. But after that terrible start for St Johnstone, firstly a win under Alec Cleland as caretaker manager, and 2 wins and a draw since Craig Levein has been appointed, have boosted the confidence around McDermott Park. But those points did all come at home. So Craig Levein will be looking to get some points on the road. And St Johnstone, in fact, have gone their last 6 away games, no points, and haven't even scored a goal this season. So they'll be looking to improve on that. But they did win here both occasions last season, so they know they can play well here at Fir Park. Going to the team news for Motherwell, they've made 3 changes. Ben Casey's out injured, Wilkinson and Bear dropped to the bench, and come George Gent for his first start, Drapowski with his first league start, and John Obika to partner Biereth up front. So they go the normal 3-5-2 formation, no change to that. Liam Kelly's in goal, Stephen O'Donnell's playing right centre-back alongside Bevis Mugabe and Shane Blaney, Brodie Spencer, Callum Slatty, Davor Drakowski and George Gent in midfield, with Blair Spittle behind the 2 strikers, Jonathan Obika and Mika Biereth. Their subs, Aston Oxborough, Teo Bear, Ollie Shaw, Brandon McDermott, Dylan Wells, Luca Ross, Mac Ross, Ollie White and Connor Wilkinson. Just the one change for St Johnstone from the midweek win against St Mirren, Kucharabi has dropped out through injury, and no surprise that Chris Kane, who got the winner in midweek, he comes into the starting 11. So they go with Dimitar Mitov in goals, Ryan McGowan, Liam Gordon and Luke Robinson at the back, James Brown, Dan Phillips, Matt Smith and Tony Gallagher in midfield, and Graham Carey drops deeper to behind 2 strikers, Dialine Jayasemi and Chris Kane. Their subs are Fran Franchak, Andy Considine, Stevie May, Luke Jeffcott, Olodare Olafunya, Sven Spangler, Jay Turner-Cook, Dave Richards and Dara Costello. And the referee and VAR today are the same as I saw last week against Hibs Aberdeen, but they swap places. This time Ewan Anderson is the referee and Willie Collin is the VAR.
What do we mean by must win for Stuart Kettlewell, Hugh Keevans?
Well, no wins in 13 has an ominous ring to it, and someone might start to panic upstairs at Fir Park and think we're not going to get out of this unless we make a change. I agree.
So, you think that's where it stands just now? It's not like lose today and the sacking arrives?
No, I don't believe so.
I differ a bit. Now, I've defended Stuart and Motherwell for a number of weeks now because nothing much was changing within their league position. However, today, when you look at the fixture, if St Johnstone win and go ahead of them, all of a sudden you're starting to drop down the league table. And I think that's when upstairs starts to panic and might take action. So it's a tough one. It's harsh on young managers and they don't like to see it, but he'll be well aware of what's needed today.
No conversations yet, though, he says, about it, Gordon Dale. So if that was to happen, it would be sort of out of the blue as far as he's concerned, albeit the results are clearly terrible.
Yeah, he spoke openly about it during the week, Gordon, but I'm with Mark in that camp. I think if he loses today, and you could possibly see Aberdeen, St Johnstone climbing above them, sitting in second bottom, 4 points out of 39, not good enough, you'll lose your job.
What would that mean, though, for Barry Robson, Dave Galloway? He's getting a bit of stick as well. Hearts the visitors to Pittodrie today.
Yeah, that's something of an understatement, Gordon. Barry Robson's obviously under a massive amount of pressure, but the Aberdeen boss insists he doesn't fear for his job and that Chairman Dave Cormack has not had any discussions with him about his future. Cormack is in town, incidentally. AFC have their AGM on Monday evening, and that should be very interesting indeed. Some of the fans, as I've touched upon, they really turned on the manager after Wednesday night's defeat here against Kilmarnock, telling him in no uncertain terms where to get to. With the home team languishing second bottom of the Premiership, this match is must win, absolutely must win. I know it's a cliched expression, but Aberdeen must win this one from a home point of view. But of course, Hearts will have very much other ideas. They're up in third place, and despite a narrow midweek loss to Rangers, they'll fancy their chances of deepening the Dons' gloom with a victory. They're certainly in much better form than their hosts, winning four out of their last five league encounters. Looking at the teams then, and Aberdeen make a couple of changes. In come Esther Sockler and youngster Jack Milne. Out drop Duke and Angus McDonald. So it's Keller Roos in goals at the back, Stefan Gartenman, Richard Jensen and Jack Milne. Across the middle, Nicky Devlin, Jamie McGrath, Leighton Clarkson, Graham Shinney and Johnny Hayes. Up top, Bojan Miowski and Esther Sockler. The subs for the Dons today, Duin, Barron, Duke, McGarry, Morris, Polvara, Duncan, McDonald and Rubisic. There are also three changes for Hearts. In come Toby Sibbick, Alex Lowry and Kenneth Vargas. Out drop Nat Atkinson, George Grant and Kyosuke Tagawa. So Xander Clark in goals then. A back three, Stephen Kingsley, Frankie Kent and Kai Rolls. Across the middle, Kenneth Vargas, Callum Nauenhoff, Benny Beningame, Toby Sibbick and Alex Cochran, with Alex Lowry helping out Lawrence Shankland in attack. Just the eight subs for the Jam Tarts today, and they are Gordon, Halkett, Grant, Oda, Forrest, Mackay, Denham and Tagawa. Match referee is Chris Graham, and on VAR duties it's Matthew McDermott.
What about St Mirren Ross County then, Roger Hanna?
Yeah, you're touching St Mirren's form there just at the top of the show, Gordon. Three straight defeats away from home for the Buddies without a single goal scored. That includes a 1-0 loss to Ross County up in Dingwall 11 days ago. They lost again 1-0 at Perth on Wednesday night to Chris Kane's penalty rebound in the sixth minute of stoppage time. But they are still fourth in the table, as you said, and their only defeat here in Paisley this season came against Rangers. They have three of their next four at the Smyzer over the festive season. So Stephen Robinson not interested in any doom and gloom around the place. County definitely on the up, though. They've taken 7 points from nine in three home games since Derek Adams returned to the club. They're up to eight. They could be sixth, depending on the twist and turn of results over this weekend. This is the first away game of Adams' third spell as Staggy's boss, but he's back home for back-to-back games against Dundee and Hibs after this. And as I say, remarkably, they're only 3 points off the top six in that tight middle belt in the Premiership. Adams has to do without suspended centre-back Will Nightingale today after his late red card in the 3-0 win against Motherwell on Tuesday night. The last four fixtures here, Gordon, 1-0, 1-0, 0-0, 1-0. So I'm not getting too excited at the prospect of a goal fest. And County's last win here, way back, April 2015, 3-0, a Liam Boyce hat-trick, and St Mirren down to 10 men, a Bulgarian defender called Viktor Genev. Even I don't remember him, Gordon. It was only his sixth appearance for St Mirren. He never played for them again. Those who do play today, three changes for Robinson. Richard Taylor is fit again. He comes in. Terry Small and Stav Namani in as well for the injured Ryan Flynn. And for Charles and Lewis Jameson, who go down to the bench after that midweek defeat at Perth. His 19-year-old Small's first start since a red card at Pittodrie in May. And his 21-year-old Namani's first ever league start since signing, coming over from Israel in the summer. So St Mirren go with Zach Hemming in goal to back three, Marcus Fraser, Alec Gogic and Richard Taylor. Across the middle, Terry Small, Mark O'Hara, Kellen Boyd, Munch, Greg Kilty and Scott Tanzer. And up top, Stav Namani, Will Pardner, Jonah Ayunga. On the bench, Arminski, Bolton, McMenamin, Jameson, Dunn, Olusanya, Bacchus, Mandron and Grieve. Just a one change for Derek Adams. He's without, as we say, Nightingale. In comes 17-year-old centre-back Dylan Smith. But ex-St Mirren players Eamon Brophy and Jay Henderson are both fit and back on the Staggies bench. So they have Ross Laidlaw in goal, also a back three, Dylan Smith, Jack Baldwin and Ryan Leake. Across the middle, James Brown, Connor Randall, Scott Allardyce and Ben Purrington, with Jan Danda in behind the front two of Simon Murray and Jordan White. On the bench, Monroe, Harmon and Brophy, Henderson, Turner and Sims, Sheaf, Loturi and Samuel. The referee is Callum Scott. The VAR at the Smyzer is John Beaton.
Livy Hibs is the venue for David Friel this afternoon.
Yeah, Gordon, as Hugh sort of indicated earlier on, there's dark clouds over Livingston at the moment. I'm not just talking about today's weather, which is pretty grim. Livy 3 points adrift at the bottom of the league, 1-1-12, 6 defeats in a row and no goals in 505 minutes. I think it was October the 21st the last time they scored a goal. Tony Macaroni, it was old cliche, it used to be a fortress, a really hard place to come, but it isn't anymore. Home form has become a real problem for David Martindale's side. They have one win here in 6 league games so far this season. They've only scored 3 goals in those 6 games as well. Off the pitch, meanwhile, the proposed takeover by John McElvoke has been halted for the time being after a court ruling, so it's a concerning time for Livy on and off the pitch, and I think they badly need a win today to lift the gloom. The game with Ross County was frozen off last week, but David Martindale has made 2 changes from their last outing, which was a 1-0 defeat at St Mirren. It's quite surprising, you know, given the lack of goals. Livy don't have an abundance of attackers, and Joel Nubley and Bruce Anderson are both dropped today. They're both on the bench with Jamie Brandon and Ayo Obalai coming in. So Livingston will line up Shamal George in goals, back 3 of Mikey Devlin, Michael Nottingham and Ayo Obalai, Jamie Brandon, Jason Holt, Scott Pittman, Sean Kelly and James Penn race across the middle with Andrew Shinney asked to support Curtis Guthrie in attack. Subs for Livy are Hamilton, Parks, Anderson, Kelly, Welsh Hayes, Nubley, Singari, Lloyd and Lawal. As for Hibs, they're also getting closer to fresh investment. Bournemouth owner Bill Foley, he's getting closer to taking not a controlling stake, but certainly put some money into the club, and I think they're certainly in a far better place and their opponents today. Okay, Hibs lost 4-1 in midweek to Celtic. I'm not sure I agreed with Nick Montgomery when he said his side were a bit unlucky. They did create a few chances, but you know, they could also concede 6 or 7, but they had won 3 in a row before that Celtic defeat, and I think they'll be looking to get back on track today, and I think they'll fancy this. They don't actually have a brilliant record here, but they did win 4-1 on the plastic last season, and I think they'd love a repeat today. Nick Montgomery's made 4 changes from the Celtic game with 3 of his back 4 dropping out. Lewis Miller, Rocky Bashiri and Lewis Stevenson all out, and Josh Campbell is also on the bench. Rory Whittaker, Paul Hanlon, Jordan Abita and Dylan Venti are in. Hibs are going to line up David Marshall in goals, Rory Whittaker, Will Fish, Paul Hanlon and Jordan Abita. Dylan Levitt and Joe Newell will be the midfield 2 with Jair Tavares, Dylan Venti, Martin Boyle and Eli Yuan as the front 4. Subs for Hibs are Wallacott, Jago, Stevenson, Doidge, Harbottle, Campbell, Bashiri, Molotnikov and Del Ferrier. The referee at the Tony Macaroni is Grant Irvin and the VAR is Andrew Dallas.
We will take a look back on some of the week's biggest talking points when we return.
Action as it happens. Your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl are in the studio. We've got the top team round the grounds. Some really good fixtures, 5 in total in the Premiership this afternoon. Regular listeners will know we usually take a breath after the team news, look back on some of the week's biggest stories, round off the week by our own dramatic, controversial standards. Roger Hanna maybe wasn't quite as busy and debatable a week as we've had previously. I'm thinking maybe as a theme that sort of links it all together. Rangers had their AGM. The theme of that was spending in January and what can be done. It was another week in which Brendan Rodgers again spoke about wanting quality, then got more specific, referencing players being away at the Asia Cup and so on. Would that be the sort of standout talking point from the week?
Oh, good answer.
Yeah, I think so. And I think supporters, now you hear them phoning Monday to Friday in the show, Gordon, and they're already excited about what's going to happen in January. Rangers clearly will need players due to injuries. You know, of Danilo, Lawrence, they were the headline names yesterday, but still no Nicholas Raskin, Ryan Jack, Scott Wright, players like that. So Philippe Clement will want reinforcements in, and Celtic need reinforcements in. I'm very much in the camp that if you sign players from Asia, you can't moan if they go to the Asian Cup. And I don't think Brendan Rodgers is complaining, but he is already just putting the word out that he will want players in, because I don't think he will want to play too many fixtures without Kyogo or O or Maida up front. It looks very, very short.
Roger Hanna's technology sounds a bit wonky. We got most of that. David Friel, what that's sort of linked to this week has been a bit of a debate about Bojan Miovski and whether he's a player Celtic would go for, what he would add, how much he would cost. We had a Celtic fan on last night, very unhappy at the suggestion, said, you know, good enough for Aberdeen, not good enough for us. What do you make of that story?
Yeah, well, obviously, story during the week, it did not surprise me in the slightest at all. Brendan Rodgers asked about it yesterday and did the old, I don't want to comment in names, which is usually a sign that, yeah, there is interest there. In terms of Bojan Miloski for Celtic, I think it would be a good signing. I think he is good enough for Celtic. He's 24, I think he's got 17 caps from North Macedonia, started against England a couple of weeks ago. Really good scoring record. I think there's more to come from him as well. Scores all kinds of goals. And obviously Aberdeen are going to want a fair bit of money for him, but I don't really have a problem with that, Gordon. For me, if Celtic are happy enough to spend $4.5 million in Mike Navrotsky and $5 million in Albion Ajeti and $4.5 million in Vasilis Barkas, I think Aberdeen are more entitled to ask for the going rate. Now, where they're going to get it or not remains to be seen, but certainly I think he's a player who could add to Celtic. And look, if Celtic don't sign him, someone will sign him very, very soon. He'll go at a higher level than Aberdeen, no doubt about that at all.
Quickly round the houses, if you like, would that be a good signing for Celtic, Fraser Wishart?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's a lot of snobbery around because, oh, he's playing for Aberdeen, therefore he's not good enough for Celtic. But we can think of many a player that Celtic have signed that we don't know about from abroad. And they've got Bojan Miloski with his record and his international caps and playing against England, and he scored 18, 20 goals last year in, say, the Belgian League or somewhere like that, and he's living this year, scored in Europe. People have said, oh, aye, he's a good player. But I think there is a wee bit of snobbery there from some supporters. It tends to happen. Don't rate people that play for Scottish clubs, but he scored a lot of goals. And in the end, you could sign somebody from abroad and they can come in as a good player. And how many players have we seen, as I said, particularly the old firm, have come in and just not happened for them? You know, good players, it just hasn't happened for them. Here's a guy we know that can play in Scotland and can score a lot of goals in Scotland. And I've seen him a couple of times recently. Saw him last week. He missed a whole load of sitters against Hibs, but his general game was really good. Keeps it simple. I think the big Celtic would like it at centre forward. Keep it simple, just hold the ball up, bring the good players into play, and then gets back in the box and scores goals. So for me, yeah, he's good enough to play for Celtic.
Where the snobbery is exposed as a myth is that Celtic in the summertime brought in 10 players from out with Scotland, and 9 of them are so far in the failure category until they can prove otherwise. Lewis Palmer is the only one of 10 who looks up to the job, and Brendan Rodgers has gone on record about the likes of Navrotsky and Lagabielka and said he sees them in training and they're not up to getting a game yet. So Miloski would of course be a good signing for Celtic, and Brendan Rodgers has said he wants 4 quality players in. Now, on the back of a dodgy transfer window in the summertime, I don't think Brendan Rodgers, who has lately taken to speaking his mind, I don't think he will take kindly to a transfer window that does not meet with his ambitions.
Would Miloski fall into that category for you?
I can see where the boys are coming from. I think it would depend on the price, Gordon. And then you're looking at, would that mean that O would be right down the pecking order?
Well, part of this is the Asia Cup flow as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
I appreciate that's a short-term thing, but still something's going to be done.
Yeah, look, I think the boys make a good case. He knows the Scottish game. He's playing with a team that are sitting second bottom of the league just now, but he still looks a threat. I think he's got a lot in his locker. I know Mark likes him particularly. So I don't think, I think right price, I think it would be a good deal. I don't think Celtic will pay over odds, but
yeah, I think it would be a good sign. I said last season I thought Rangers or Celtic would have taken a wee nibble at Miloski because of what he did last season for Aberdeen. And if you look at him, comparison to O's been here just coming up for a year, and he's got about 12 goals in that time. Miloski's got 11 this season alone.
A lot less minutes though.
Yeah, but probably a lot more chances created from a Celtic side. Miloski can make things happen as well. You know, he doesn't often rely on others to put it on a plate. I think he's a clever player. I don't think it'd be the worst move for Brendan Rodgers.
How does Rangers' situation differ, Roger? Very loosely, I feel like we've separated into, would Miloski be a good one for Celtic and would Shankland be a good one for Hearts? Rangers' main concern again seems to be injuries, though. I don't know if they sign their way out of that or how they fix it.
Yeah, injuries really are the problem, and that's been the case. Rangers supporters will tell you, Gordon, that's been the case for some considerable period of time. It seems to be something that has irritated Philippe Clement and his time at the club. He keeps referencing it, the number of injuries, and the fact that, you know, when a Rangers player gets injured, he never seems to be out for 10 days. It's always a sort of lengthy injury. We spoke to him about Nicholas Raskin after the game last weekend against St Mirren, and he seemed, you know, annoyed that the rehab wasn't going as well as he'd expected it to, and he's already ruled him out of the cup final next weekend, and things like that seem to annoy Philip Clement. So if he's going to have a lengthy injury list, he's going to need reinforcements. And I think, you know, unlike Celtic, you look at Celtic, up top is clearly going to be the area where they need reinforcements in January, mainly because of the Asia Cup. But for Rangers, for me, it's all over the pitch. You know, it's holding midfield players, it's left backs, it's strikers, it's everywhere. And I think Philip Clement could be busy in January.
Yeah, I mean, Fraser, I'm sure Rangers fans would love this, you know, silver bullet, this one discovery, and say, ah, this is what's gone wrong at the club, and fix this and players won't get injured again. Of course, it's not that simple. But as Roger says, it's been quite a record of late. And when you look at the importance of the games that Danilo and Raskin and Tom Lawrence are going to miss, it could be a really critical part of the season.
Yeah, and possibly three starters, certainly Raskin. I think Danilo's probably, with Kemar Roofe, for me, is the best number nine at the club, but he's not been fit for a long time either. Interesting to see if he sees minutes today with Europe in mind during the week, because I think he'd be ideal to play some part during the week. But these guys, Danilo, Raskin certainly, and probably Lawrence as well, all of whom would be starters, and all of whom just can't seem to get themselves fit in at a key time in the season, because you can be out for 4 weeks in December and miss nine games, you know. And I think Rangers will get some like six or seven games between now and the New Year fixture, including the New Year fixture against Celtic. So yeah, that is a problem for them. But the other problem is they invested heavily in central strikers during the summer. So are the board going to say, well, hold on a second, you've got Danilo, you've got Dessers, you've got Lammers, you've got Roofe, you've got all these players who play as central strikers. Cantwell's clearly a number 10, you've got wingers there. Somebody might have to go out before somebody comes in, because you know, can you keep just signing centre forwards, you know? And that might be the issue that they face. Shanklin's certainly good enough. Majowski, well, he's good enough for Celtic, he's obviously good enough for Rangers as well. So these might be players that they're looking for. But again, how much money does players need to go out before players come in? Because Rangers signed a lot of players during the summer. They invested heavily in transfer fees and salaries. So that'll be the interesting thing. How many come out the door as well to allow some coming in the door for the next 6 months?
This was even the week, Roger Hanna, that we had calls saying, should Rangers re-sign Alfredo Morelos?
No, not for me, I have to say, Gordon. I don't think, looking back, you have to remember the last year or 18 months of Alfredo Morelos' spell at Rangers, so I think that would be a backward step. There is talk of Majowski, there is talk of Shankland. I would throw Martin Boyle's name into that as well. He still strikes me as one who's as capable as either Majowski or Shankland if you're looking locally, shall we say, for attacking talent in the January transfer window. But no, I think Morelos had chance after chance after chance at Rangers. It didn't go well latterly, and it doesn't look as if it's gone any better at Santos.
Let's park it there quickly. Go on then, Hugh Keevan. So I'll let you back in briefly before we move on.
I was quickly going to say, moles is my favourite novelty topic of conversation about this transfer window. Santos, in their hour of need, when they were about to be relegated after their 111-year history without relegation, they still didn't bring him on. He sat on the bench because he's past it.
You also called him Michael Moles there, and yeah. I thought he's definitely past it. I can't see him.
Moles, your big moment was
too
wasted.
Too many mince pies.
No, you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Alfredo Morelos.
We all knew what you meant.
He's over the hill, done, past it, forget it. Wow. Clement wouldn't touch him with a barge pole.
Merry Christmas, Alfredo, if you're listening. We'll go back around the grounds on a huge day of Premiership action next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL in the studio, building up to kickoffs around the country. Very briefly, let's hear from Philippe Clement and Tony Docherty.
Saying that this week will define the season of Rangers, it's totally not true. There are for sure three competitions after this week that we still will complete.
And of course, Tony Docherty going to Ibrox today.
Every game, as I say, it's important that you try and make sure that your game plan, you execute that over the opponent. And this week we've been analysing Rangers as we would do every team, and there's huge strengths in our team, you know that, but there's weaknesses as well. So what you try and do is exploit any weaknesses and any strengths they've got. You try and negate that as much as possible with the staff that you've got and the players that you've got and the system that you're going to play. So you need to be your best, you know, you need to make sure that you're ready for the challenge, and that's why we'll go down there having had a good week's training, looking into how we're going to play and hopefully execute a game plan.
We'll be back to Ibrox before kick-off, just reflecting on the size of this game at Fir Park. Motherwell, St Johnstone, the guys are floating it as a must-win for Stuart Kettlewell. And I'm always interested, Fraser, when the dice gets rolled, if you like. You know, a couple of weeks ago we saw Stuart Kettlewell, you know, try a front three central strikers, and it didn't really work, and he revisited it. And today, Gordon Dale likes to call him Davor, because it's better than going for the surname. But Davor is in for his first league start, and there is a first start, and it's at all at the club for Georgie Gent as well. Is that all feeling a bit like a sort of, if it's not a last throw of the dice, then one of them?
I think it's a great name to call him Davor as well, because I struggle with his name, get the teeth back in as well. But I think a lot of it's down to injuries as well, Gordon. When you look at the subs bench, they've got five young lads: McDermott, Wells, two Ross lads and White. So they've only got three experienced players on the bench who are recognised first team players, and they're all strikers: Theo Beard, Ollie Shaw and Connor Wilkinson. And I'm told they're going to tuck Stephen O'Donnell in as a right-sided centre-back. I thought he might have changed his formation to a 4-4-2, but it's not. It's going to be the same formation as usual, and Stephen O'Donnell's going to tuck in as right-sided centre-back. So I think it's probably needs must. But Davor was brought in as a kind of a big-name player on a good salary, on a work permit as well during the summertime, and he's not played. And that was down to the former Lennon Miller, who played really well at the start of the season. But Lennon's been injured for a number of weeks now, and he still hasn't played. So I don't know if that tells you anything, because Stuart Kettlewell was the manager at the time. But I thought he might have changed things today, changed it around, but he's sticking faith with his tried and tested system, and he's going to try and get Blair Spittle, who's probably been the best player this season, into attacking areas, and Beareth as well. That's the two players who probably can look themselves in the mirror this year. But John O'Beek is back from injury as well, so they've got a wee bit of an attacking threat there. But if they need changes elsewhere, then it might be down to the young lads, and sometimes that's good, sometimes a wee bit refreshing. But certainly troubled times at Motherwell. I think Stuart's problem is that the club is run by the supporters, and if supporters turn on him today, then the supporters' reps and people on the board may have to do something as well. And he's not had a chief exec. Alan Burrows left a year ago, and he's not been replaced either, so he's not got that comfort of somebody there who's maybe batting for him in the boardroom as well. I really like Stuart, and he's got a reputation of being a really good coach, but you can't keep losing games. He said that himself. You can't keep losing games. And the manner of the defeat in midweek against Ross County, and if you lose today, it might be the manner of the defeat that might decide one way or another whether he stays or goes.
You can debate amongst yourselves who out of Stuart Kettlewell and Barry Robson needs the win more, but Dave Galloway, the booing when David Watson's fine goal hit the back of the net midweek told its own story. Is it safe to say the Pittodrie faithful won't be very patient if this game doesn't start well today?
No, absolutely, Gordon. I mean, you'd expect Hearts to go right at Aberdeen from the first whistle, try and turn the home sport against the team. And the way things are going right now, that would not take much at all. And a victory for the Jam Tarts also would see them move to double Aberdeen's points total in the Premiership. They go 13 points ahead of the Dons, which clearly from a home perspective would be, totally unacceptable.
Yeah, let's hear from Barry Robson.
An exciting one, hopefully. We hope to try and create chances, as we always do. Hearts are a good side, a lot of good players. The squad's been there a while, so they all know each other well. And it's a game that we're really looking forward to. As I said, it's good when you can get a game that comes along quickly after we got beat the other night. And hopefully we can go and try and get the 3 points for the fans. I'll say one thing. Since I've been here, the fans have been absolutely brilliant, and they were frustrated the other night and disappointed, and I get that. And rightly so. We want to go and win the game for them. But for me, the fans have been outstanding. I could not have asked for any more support from them. And the other night, they were frustrated, and they let us know that. And rightly so. So we need to go out and try and win the game for them.
Looking forward to that one greatly at Pittodrie, St Mirren against Ross County. Roger Hanna, it's almost like the... Hugh was saying earlier, would you put St Mirren in the bracket of a good season so far? And I think you would have to, but it's maybe in that balance, and fixtures like this can maybe sway it one way or the other as we head into this busy schedule. Well, that's the biggest delay of all time. Roger Hanna's still listening to last week's show, I think. We'll try and get that cleared up. Livy Hibbs, David Friel. Yeah. You're the man, David Friel. You had St Johnstone gone a few weeks ago. Where do we stand on Livy? Because It sort of reminds me of Hamilton Accies in a way, where eventually they keep proving everyone wrong. So people say, well, you can never write them off, they'll never go down. And then it comes round again and people say, well, you know, they're bound to eventually, and is this their year? It just feels like it's all a bit negative at Livy at the moment.
Yeah, it certainly is all a bit negative, Gordon, but I'm still not writing them off. I know what you mean in terms of Hamilton Accies, and I suppose everybody at the start of every season thinks, you know, can Livy hang on again? But I spoke about this earlier in the season. Livy have got a really strong squad. For whatever reason, things aren't happening for them. But I think David Martindale is a good enough manager, and I think they've got good enough players to get out of this. It's a horrible run they're on. I mean, the goal thing is becoming a real problem. Obviously, six defeats in a row. I don't think Davey's under any pressure to lose his job or anything at the moment, but they obviously need to stop their shot quickly. But I do still think they can get out of this. I don't think Livingston will go down. I think it could potentially go to the wire, but I still think they've got a squad. Even if you look at the bench today, as I say, you know, guys like Nubley and Bruce Anderson, Stephen Kelly on the bench, they've got options. They're a good enough squad to get out of this trouble.
Let's hear from Davey Martindale.
When any of these teams come to Livingston, we've got more than a good opportunity if we perform on the day to take points from the game. But I know how well Nick's done since he's been in the building. I think he's done a very, very good job. You can see the progression in the players since he's been in there.
And here is Nick.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. That's what you get in this Christmas period, so no time to dwell on anything, and you have to look at the next game, and that for us is Livingston. And yeah, we'll go there. We know exactly what's going to offer. It's going to be a tough game. It's not an easy place to go. They're a physical side, well organised, and yeah, we'll go there looking to get a result like we do every week.
I would have to contradict David Friel, my old friend, my fellow hack. I don't think you could say that Livy have a strong squad on the back of six defeats in a row, not a goal in 8.5 hours. And you know, if it's seven defeats in a row, then thank heavens they don't have a good squad.
I think you could both be right in a way though, David Friel, because I get what you mean. You look through individually, it feels like there are a good few players at least in there that you think would do a job for the other teams round about them.
Yeah, exactly, Gordon. But my point was really, if you think back to the Hamilton Accies team you're talking about eventually get relegated, you kind of felt they were doomed. They didn't look as if they really belonged in the top league anymore. I don't think you can say the same about Livy. I get the results haven't been good, but if I look through that team and look through the experience they've got there, I still think Livy might be okay this season. I'll contradict you.
Well, listen, you can't have Livy and St Johnson going down, so you have to pick one of them. But we'll leave it there for now. Livy against Hibs at the Tony Macaroni. The kickoffs are coming next, and we go back to Ibrox after these.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
3 o'clock on a Saturday, still the place to be for football. Can't beat it. We've got five games in the Scottish Premiership this afternoon. We've given you team news ahead of them all, but let's go back to Ibrox and build up to kick off for the match against Dundee with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, just waiting for the teams to make their way out the tunnel for this one. I'll give you a recap of the starting lineups. Five changes for Rangers from that 1-0 win over Hearts midweek, and of course some of those down to injuries as well. The likes of Tom Lawrence, Danilo are out for, well, until at least the winter break, which will be a big blow for them. Connor Goldson rested, so Goldson, Lawrence, McCausland, Danilo and Yilmaz all dropping out. In comes Suter, Cifuentes, Matondo, Dessers and Barisic. So Jack Butland will continue in goal for Rangers today. The back four, James Tavernier, John Suter, Leon Balogun and Borna Barisic, the two holding midfielders. John Lundstrom and Jose Cifuentes providing the width. Ravi Matondo and Abdallah Sima. Todd Cantwell in the number 10 role behind Cyril Dessers. The substitutes, McCrory, Yilmaz, Goldson, Lammers, Sterling, Roof, Davies, King and McCausland. Just the one change for Dundee from that 3-3 draw against Motherwell. Owen Beck drops out of the squad altogether. He's been very impressive this season in that left wing back role, but he's not fit enough to make the squad today. In comes Ricky Lamy for him. So Trevor Carson in goal. The back three, Juan Portales, Joe Shaughnessy and Ricky Lamy. Jordan McGee and Aaron Donnelly are the two wing backs. Lyle Cameron, Malachi Boateng and Luke McCowan, the three central midfield players. Amadou Bakayoko and Zach Rudden are the front two. The substitutes for them, Legstons, Kerr, Tiffany, Ashcroft, Mulligan, Robinson, Riley, Robertson and Silla. The referee is Kevin Clancy. The VAR for this one is Stephen Kirkland. Rangers still unbeaten, of course, under Philip Clement. And since he came in as well, they've actually got the best points per game record in the Scottish Premiership. It's maybe just a lack of full 90-minute performances that the fans have seen from this side. There's not been real displays of attacking talent, you know, with the clinical end to them as well. We've seen it on some occasions, certainly when they beat Dundee 5-0 at Dens Park last month, but they just want to see a few more appearances like that. Danilo, of course, missed a few good chances midweek. Cyril Dessers has done that on a few occasions, but he gets the nod today, with Danilo, of course, out for an extended period of time. Kamar Roof not ready yet to play 90 minutes because of his ongoing injury and fitness issues. You wonder if they could put on that type of show today, or can Dundee build on what has been a really good start to the campaign for them? Tony Docherty in his first season in charge as a manager, Dundee back in the top flight. They could be happy 7th place, just 4 Premiership defeats. As I mentioned earlier, only Celtic and Rangers have lost fewer in the league so far this campaign, and something that they will look to surely try and take advantage of today is set pieces. It's a big area for them, more goals than any other side in the division from set pieces. A third of their goals in the league this season have come from set pieces. If you include penalties as well, they've scored one of those. That's more than a third, so something Rangers will need to be wary of, although they will be happy with their defensive record since Philip Clement came in. And I think a few players will be looking for big performances as well today. Jose Cifuentes, it was Tom Lawrence that was favoured to him midweek, but I thought when Cifuentes came on, it took him a bit of time to get into the game, but certainly the second half at Tynecastle was his best display in a Rangers shirt, because he had looked off the pace previously, so he'll be looking to build on that as well. Cyril Dessers, of course, there's been plenty of talk about what Rangers fans want and need to see from him. Rabi Matondo as well has been in and out of the team. He's had injury issues of his own. He is favoured to Ross McCausland, who's had bright spells, the youngster, and has of course had a very good season, making his Northern Ireland debut, got his first Rangers goal in Europe. But Rabi Matondo, in, he'll want to make that wide position his own, and he'll want to show the sort of attacking intent that Abdallah Sima has done on the other side. But we are just underway at Ibrox.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Make your life that little bit easier. Use their free prescription delivery.
Come on then, you hopeless duds. Give me the Saturday afternoon Aka. You struggle when there's only 2 or 3 games on. Goodness knows how you'll get all 5, but give it a bash.
Can you let me leave Ibrox till last, because there's a story attached here. Ross County to win in Paisley. Take that and party. St Johnston will lose at home. Motherwell, rather, will win at home against St Johnston. I think it's 13 lucky for Stuart Kettlewell. Hibs will beat Libby away, and Hearts will get a draw at Pittodrie. Now, there was a lady in the supermarket this morning who helped me through the personal checkout, because she could see me struggling.
The personal checkout, such a good word for it. Anyway.
And she said, at the end of it all, please, can you do me a favour? Don't tip Rangers to win today, because I have to live with him. And I assume that was her husband. I have to live with him if you get your predictions wrong. And he thinks you do it deliberately. But I'd love to help you, and thanks for your help this morning. But I think Rangers will beat Dundee.
After all of that,
Well, I think the teams who need to win, must win, will win today. So I think Aberdeen will beat Hearts today. I think Motherwell will beat St Johnson. Hibs will beat Livy away from home. St Mirren, home win against Ross County. And Rangers to beat Dundee.
Oh, I'm not too far away from that. I'm going Rangers to beat Dundee, full house. St Mirren to beat Ross County. Motherwell to beat St Johnston. Livingston Hibs a draw. And I'm going for AFC
to before beat their Hearts. AGM.
It only took Jose Cifuentes 20 seconds to hit one from distance that was saved. So Rangers going on the front foot. Don't get me wrong, a routine save, not particularly close. But
wonder if he's got that goal chain off.
Nevertheless, it's taken him 4 days the other day to get that goal chain off, according to one caller. The first goal in Scotland goes to Cove Rangers down at Annan. It's a fair old journey, that one, you'd have to imagine. But there we go, Cove one up at the moment. In case we get any early goals, let's set this up for the afternoon. Hugh Keevans.
The first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
We have Switzerland in our Euro 24 group, of course. That's to come in the summertime. Today's question: there have been 5 Swiss players at Celtic or Rangers
since season 2016-17, name them. Five Swiss players have been at Celtic or Rangers since the season 2016-2017. Who are they?
Good question. Topical, relevant, doable. It's all there at Clyde SSB. We need one tweet with all of the correct names on it, and you need to beat everyone else. It's a bit of a race. You can go for the old "it's the taking part that counts" if you're that way inclined, but who's got time for that? We need a bit of glory. You need to beat everyone else. So at Clyde SSB, Annan is the place to be. A sentence I've never said before, but Annan won, Cove won after 5 minutes. And what a big afternoon it is for the Palmerston Pep if we're on the old must-win territory. I don't know where he is. He certainly could be doing with one. It's Montrose nil, Queen of the South 1, Lee Connolly. And that's a tough fixture as well. Montrose away at Notts County. What about the grass? Did you hear about him?
The grass?
The grass, DL. Well, he met Marvin Bartley in the gym the other day and he says, "By the way, you've been getting it tight on the show."
From you as well?
No, I've seen from you guys.
You give him
we
it.
Know that on a Saturday afternoon he can't hear us.
Yeah, he's so, a lovely guy. I love the big man, but I had to sort of...
Did you just say the big man again because you can't remember his name?
I know.
Marvin.
I love Marvin. He's a terrific lad. And he I met him, and by the way, I've got to say, He's still high in confidence. He believes in his players, and that's a great start. It'll be a difficult afternoon. Good game up at Montrose, but well done, big Marv.
Ooh, big chance, Dundee, 1-on-1. Think Lyle Cameron eventually, and a huge save, Jack Butland. If there's a phrase that you do say quite often about Rangers at the moment, it's huge save, Jack Butland. So that, yet again, proving his worth.
You talk about contenders for player of the season. And I know that the focus tends to be Matt O'Reilly would be an immediate contender, but Butland, just for the work that he does whenever he's called upon, it's a tremendous show of concentration, and that appears to have been another contribution.
He won't thank us for this because it can clearly hold on. We've got an opener at Ibrox.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Jack Butland can't do anything about this one, and Dundee take the lead from that resulting corner. It falls to Bakayoko, and he makes no mistake to put the visitors in front with 5 minutes on the clock. It's Rangers 0, Dundee 1.
Early tension for Philippe Clement. As I say, today is reminiscent of the day when he drew at Pittodrie and failed to take advantage of Celtic dropping points the day before. Now, today the exercise for him is to put Celtic under pressure tomorrow at Kilmarnock, but that's an early and shocking setback.
Now I can see why that lady to check out asked you not to predict Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I did say about Dundee that they carried a threat earlier on. I said they wouldn't come to Ibrox and try and stonewall Rangers. They've got players that can cause problems, and Bakayoko's certainly one of them. It's been a good season for... What are you laughing at?
You're just making
that
up.
I did say that, did I not? And there we go.
Who
it's
did you tip?
Five. Bakayoko to score.
Who did you tip to win the game?
Well, Rangers, there but I says go. Dundee would carry a threat, and they have.
So there. Yeah, not a great start. In front
for Rangers.
Of, yeah.
A great start for Dundee.
Oh, terrific for Dundee. It gives them so much confidence. What's up?
VAR.
Is that going to be Andrew McLean's is there? Just because you always have to kind of wait, don't you, nowadays? So we'll just wait and see. No, it's fine. All good. I thought there was that usual delay.
Listen, terrific start for Dundee. Tony Docks went down there with a game plan. I don't think he would have thought it would have went as well after 5 minutes, but well done to them. Something to build on or hold on to, whatever way you want to look at it, but it's a confident start from the visitors.
If they build on it, it would be bedlam at Ibrox.
Great start, Dundee. Yeah. I was just about to praise Jack Butland. We were talking about save mark, and say that at this stage, I'm sure he will eventually. You can't imagine him making a mistake, really. You know, it's that sort of, it's not that every save is wonderful, out of this world, top drawer. You can't really imagine him making a mistake, but he's been terribly exposed by his defence on this occasion.
Of course, I think he's been a brilliant signing, arguably Rangers' best signing. And it was needed, because when such a figure like Alan McGregor leaves the club, it leaves a gaping hole in there. You need someone that's going to come in, be assured. And Rangers were struggling a wee bit. He's come in, certainly been the top performer, I think, in this Rangers side, but couldn't do anything for the goal this afternoon. So it's going to be a tricky... Sounds like it's going to be one of those tricky afternoons for Rangers. They've got Danilo out, Warren's out. You know, you hang your hopes in Dessers.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the only goal in our Premiership games so far. A couple down the divisions. You can stay in touch all afternoon, remember, at Clyde SSB. Of course, we want the answers to that first half teaser. But if you want to just send a message to the guys, get your thoughts over, you can do that as well. How are you all, actually? The Cash for Kids lunch yesterday, Hugh, I had you on a tight leash. You were at my table. You were to my immediate left. You and I had to do the show last night.
Correct.
So when the first couple of glasses of wine went down, I thought, okay, this is one to be monitored. But it was then. It was then fine.
Exactly. There was a rumour that every time you went to the toilet, a wine glass.
No. She had the Dazzler. The Dazzler was the bad influence at my side, because he kept on saying, go on, have another one.
I was topping him up.
But you see, I thought yesterday you looked like Gordon Duncan, looked like the man from the Milk Tree advert with his dark clothing and his pulling
smart,
I went dressed as
Santa Claus.
A geography teacher.
No. What's his name? The Crystal Palace manager.
Roy Hodgson.
I went dressed as him. But today, we've gone completely in the other direction. We've just gone scruffy.
And what about you?
I was fine.
Do you remember getting home?
Yes.
Sure?
Yeah, 100%. I was
slightly
fine.
Slightly different message from the one I received this morning.
Oh, I don't know who told you
my
that.
My sources out there. I was
home very early indeed.
Yes, but it starts early. So this is the thing. I'm not being fooled by this. You're at the hotel by 11 a.m. So just because you maybe say, oh, I was home for 8 or 9, that...
Well, I was home well before that.
That's not great though.
Yeah,
I heard you were offending everybody that you came across in the bar.
I didn't offend anyone. I like a bit of humour, as we all know. I don't know if the person took it.
No, they took it, are they?
And I don't know if I'll be still employed.
You actually sound a bit better than I thought you would. I was at the gym this morning working out,
so it showed you that I can go and enjoy myself, but I know when
responsible.
It's responsible. Yeah. Not like this man here.
Well, this is the thing, right? I am duty-bound on this show, and I always will, to remind everyone to drink responsibly. But I was at home last night, obviously, putting the Christmas tree up, that sort of thing, thinking about you all, worried about you all, and I thought, there is one mistake, there is one crucial mistake, one crucial trap that DL could be falling into right now.
What's that?
Trying to keep up with him.
Oh no.
That's your problem.
No, right? That is impossible.
Just know, everyone should know the limitations. Should just don't try and compete, because that was what was worrying me. I thought you would try and match Mr. Wilson.
No.
That would not end well for you, because he is
a guzzler.
Experienced.
Yeah.
I was experienced.
I know, but you just...
We started early.
There's absolutely no chance I would even go by 1 p.m.
On a more important note, just ever so slightly, over £400,000 raised for Cash for Kids. If you were there, if you bid on anything in the auction, if you donated any of the prizes, you stuck your money in the envelope, whatever it was, a sensational effort. Thank you so much. The scary thing is, like, that, you know, we need more than that, and that's why we still do lots of other things.
But the people who came,
it was incredible.
From the G15 group, G15 being the postcode for Drumchapel, somewhere close to my heart. I lived there for years. And the lovely lady who came, and the two young people she brought with her to explain what is required and what they do and how well it works. I thought it was inspirational on their part, and what a privilege to be there yesterday.
Yeah, they were at your table.
They were at my table, yeah. I was chatting away to them. I thought they'd done remarkably well to go up there and speak in front of that room about something so personal to them. But it's just, it's a bit overwhelming when you see the videos that were put up there and show, and the amount of money raised. It's just such a worthy cause, but needs to keep happening every single year. And have we got the auction next week? So it's always an important part. We always look forward to that. But a tremendous effort by all the team at Cash for Kids to pull it together.
Well done, great money raised. The three wise men, he says, made it just about this afternoon. So we're all good. We'll see how they fare come 10 to 6. Queen's Park are a goal up on Inverness a few moments ago. Jack Turner put them in front. And I'll tell you what, the Championship can be the place to be. What about the big Gordon DL derby last night?
What a game.
Both Raith Rovers and Partick Thistle, I'm sure you would agree, a 7-goal thriller. Raith were 2-0 up, then Thistle pulled it back and went 3-2 in front, and then it finished 4-3 to Raith in the driving rain in Kirkcaldy. It was magnificent, Hugh Keevans.
What a job Ian Murray is doing.
Yeah.
You know, he's top of the league, ahead of Dundee United, everyone's overwhelming favourite to go up at the end of the season. If Ian Murray's not careful, he'll get the Aberdeen job.
Brilliant for your old team.
Yeah, great to see them up there challenging, Gordon. They're in a good position. Dundee United will still be the favourites because I think they can go and strengthen a bit more in January if they want. They've got a good squad, Dundee United. But Raith are pushing them all the way. That was a terrific result for them last night, especially at home. Try and win your home games against the opposition that are in third place. So a terrific one for them, and well done to them. Hopefully they continue.
How nervous are you that a promotion for Raith would perhaps supersede what you achieved in 1994?
Listen, I could never precede what I achieved at Raith Rovers. There's no record. There's nobody out there could beat my record.
I'm talking about you personally, about the team achievement, in terms of goals. Nobody will ever beat my goals.
We stopped at the same spot for lunch today, coincidentally, and a guy was in there and he says, "Could you record a wee question for a quiz I'm hosting?"
You can mention it because I'm in there every
little
day.
Little Soho, it's magnificent.
My first visit
to Barton Road.
So the guy says to us, "Just anything about your career." So I said, "Okay, right. How many goals did I score for Celtic recorded?" He said, I don't know anything about my career. We said, "No, just say about the goals. I don't know how many goals I scored." And now he's on air saying, "Nobody will beat my record." Nobody he doesn't even know.
I'll guarantee you nobody will beat my record, Kirkcaldy. Nobody.
Because no one hangs around long enough anymore.
Gordon DL contradicts that old football saying about there's no I in team.
He's all about me.
Yes, that's it. He told me that yesterday.
He is a joke because on here, look, there's obviously a bit of bravado attached to it. You know, he's a showman. He's performing for his adoring audience, talking about how many goals he scores and so on. But yesterday, in a semi-serious conversation, I told you last night we were sitting next to Alan Gow. You remember Alan Gow, a man of quite a few clubs, at the Cash for Kids lunch. And Gordon was talking about his hip operation that he had a few years ago. But with that serious tone and a sort of straight face, he was saying, because Alan, the thing is that you've got to bear in mind, like, I scored 240 goals with my right foot, so there's a lot of wear and tear on my hip.
But you've got no shame, honestly.
He was going, so my left was fine, but there was just so much wear and tear on my right side.
I bet Alan was delighted to be sitting next to you.
He wanted to hear about a good career, and he certainly got that information.
Gowser is from Clydebank. He's used to chancers.
He's a lovely boy, I've got to say.
First time I met him,
nice guy.
Right, Sean Kelly's had a shot deflected white for Livy. St Mirren looking a bit shaky at the back. Jordan White's headed wide. Nothing happening at Fir Park. Very cautious start by both, which is perhaps to be expected. And you've had a message in from your partner in crime last night, Simon Donnelly.
Oh.
Can you think what that might be referring to?
Yes.
Because I'm glad that Simon is here to remind me, because all that stuff, see what he's done there? He's tried to trick me. He's tried to bang on about the self-service checkout and this prediction and that prediction.
Oh.
Last night, he put his house on Rangers winning today.
Yeah.
Oh no!
The
missus is packing the boxes as we speak.
2 weeks before Christmas.
Get them round.
The thing is, we'd need to get past the missus to take it.
Oh, brilliant!
She's from Drumchapel.
Yeah, so good, the old tipster.
Other removal companies are available. What one did you mention there, though?
Pickford's.
I remember one of the finest pieces of social media criticism we ever received. Do you remember when I had to hire a van to move house?
Yeah, I helped you.
Right, exactly right. So you and I were driving to the show in the big van.
Yeah.
And I was moving house, and I think we put a picture on social
media.
And someone replied under it, only they put a rogue R in the middle of that removal company that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
I thought that was good. You have to just take your hat off to that and say, yep.
Pretty cool.
Can't grumble. Remind us of your question, please, Hugh.
Yes, with the fact that Switzerland are in our Euro 24 group, we have put a question about Swiss players as the first half teaser. There have been five Swiss players at Celtic or Rangers since season 2016-2017. Who are they? Who were they, really?
Who are they? Let's find out. Don't forget, it's at Clyde SSB. I'm not going to tell you them all just now, but I'm going to just steer you in the right direction. One who misses out on certainly the time frame, I think, Hugh, and I can't remember if he actually got an appearance for Rangers. I don't think he did. Anyway, Kevin Mbabu.
No.
Why are you looking at me like that, Mark Wilson? Not remember him?
No, I don't remember him.
No. He's famous because he didn't play for Rangers, if that makes sense. He's one of the Newcastle Five. Who, right, by the way, out of them all, went on to he's going to have some career.
Right.
But he's not one of the answers on the teaser, which I'm sure will disappoint him if he is listening. That's definitely the most popular wrong answer. Probably just, what would that have been, sort of 2015-ish. So he's just about out there. And like I say, I don't know if he got an appearance.
Whether he goes, a matter of interest.
Well, he was a Newcastle player, but he's been playing in Germany and Switzerland, I think. He's Wolfsburg and Fulham. He's it.
Who was the other members of that Newcastle Five? Because I think I played against Rangers for the bunch.
Yes, the one that
he was good.
He played the most.
Yeah, played against him.
Shane Ferguson. He played a couple of
midfield
times.
Player,
he played the kind of wide fullback. He played in the playoff against Motherwell. I like to bring that one up. Gail Bigramana, your favourite.
What was his name?
No way.
Who was it?
Who ended up at Motherwell?
Bigramana.
Hold on, this is huge. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Oh, we've got two. Lawrence Shankland has put Hearts 1 up at Pittodrie. That will not go down well. It boosts Lawrence Shankland, it boosts Hearts, it doesn't do much for Aberdeen. Speaking of guys though that need a goal, I wonder how this qualifies. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Cyril Dessers, the much maligned. He was likened to a traffic cone by one caller last night. A bit harsh, perhaps, but he has scored. It was a powerful strike at the second attempt. It was deflected. I know, I hear you all saying that most of his goals are deflected, but they all count, clearly. And this was a powerful strike, deflected high into the net for Dessers. And it's Rangers 1, Dundee 1.
A home in Bears Den has been taken off the market today. So that's, I mean, the fact that it's a deflection, that earlier on today I watched Crystal Palace lose 2-1 to Liverpool, and the equalising goal for Liverpool was Mo Salah hit the ball, but a horrible deflection.
No, I'm not going to dwell on the deflection, it was just a throwaway line. But anyway, he's equalised, Hugh, and early enough, if you like, that the Rangers fans will maybe feel a bit calmer about things.
Well, it's just, you know, when Bakayoko scored for Dundee, it immediately became a test of character for the Rangers players, and they have responded.
Yeah, big goal. Listen, it doesn't matter how it goes in the back of net, Dessers will claim it. That's what he's there to do. Get on the end of things, get goals, get his team back into this game. And I think Rangers, probably with most of the possession, I could imagine, they'll find the net again.
And go at Pittodrie as well.
Just by you, before we move on to that one, Mark, you sometimes feel that for the, and it's not a guarantee, there is no exact science, but the plan, if you like, sometimes you need to hold out a bit longer, maybe, if you're Dundee, just to let that real frustration set in. That's not a bad length of time it's taken for Rangers to respond.
Yeah, a good response from them, because it would have been a bit edgy in Ibrox with Dundee taking the early lead. But like, Dessers is in there to do a job and to try and score goals. Said again, it'd be a big afternoon for him, because he's in there through necessity, not on merit probably, but the goal will do his confidence no harm. So Rangers back in it, you'd expect him to go on and maybe add to that before half time.
Yeah, Seema short now, tight angle, saved at the near post by Carson, so a corner. First just time that either keeper's been involved now at Fir Park. Liam Kelly punched a kind of low Gallagher cross away. Carey's had a shot from the rebound, comfortable save by Kelly. So St Johnstone the most threatening.
You
so
can just imagine the hostility of the atmosphere at Pittodrie now. You know, yeah. Barry Robson, it's a horrible afternoon, because they're a goal down halfway through the first half, pressure mounting.
Well, I think one thing that unites all football fans, that there is nothing better than aggressive booing when your team concedes. And did you hear it the other night?
Yeah.
It was one of the old timers. So I think
the horror story of all horror stories would be if Livy won today. sending Aberdeen down, possibly bottom, certainly joint bottom of the league the week before a cup final.
I agree. I mean, symbolically, the problem is down there, there's a few games in hand for some teams, and it kind of makes it more difficult to get an accurate representation. Greg Kelty's hit the bar. Nice 1-2 with Tanzer. Nick Montgomery's doing the universal sign for, you know, focus, head in the game, point his temples to the Hibs players. They've been a bit off it so far. See, that's the beauty of radio. You try and paint the picture, but everybody knows. Wonder if anyone's doing it. Do you think anyone's out listening, just doing it, just in response? What a team Marvin Bartley's assembled. Alex Ferguson scored, which is quite something. Montrose nil, Queen of the South 2 now for the Palmerston Pip. Oh, Kevin Clancy's going to the monitor
for the Hearts goal.
What is that usually? No, that was about 10 minutes ago.
That's quite a shame.
Ibrox.
Oh, yeah, Ibrox.
And it was after a Rangers corner, so is it a penalty check? You would have to expect that it is, unless there is something else that's happened, sort of off the ball. But yeah, you would imagine he's going to go and have a good old look there. Yeah, you would have to assume it's from the corner.
You expect it'll be given.
I had the penalty 33 minutes. Region. I'm only kidding on. I'm only kidding on to the Rangers fans listening.
Well, you
get 34 minutes.
You get everything in there. Everything in there for a joke. Kevin Clancy, the referee.
Very quick check. Penalty given. Rangers have a penalty. They are level at the moment against Dundee, but a golden chance from 12 yards. James Tavernier has missed a few this season. He's scored a few as well, though. And I'm sure there's very little debate about who takes it. Although, remember we had someone point out that actually his conversion rate, his percentage actually isn't that high. It's not abnormally high. It isn't,
I'm surprised by that.
He's not what you would call an outstanding penalty taker, in the sense that
he's taken a lot.
He has.
Top goal scorer in the league.
When he finishes his Rangers career, he'll need to have a hip operation with that right foot.
He has the chance, as Mark says, to go top scorer in the Premiership outright. Of course, Matt O'Reilly could respond tomorrow and some others throughout the afternoon, but it is going to be a James Tavernier penalty, looking to put Rangers in front with about 25-24 gone at Ibrox. He steps up on this occasion and
goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Sends Trevor Carson the wrong way. Rangers are 2-1 up against Dundee at home. After falling behind, it has flipped on its head.
So the women from Sainsbury's can go back and talk to him and say that he tipped Rangers to win, and he did.
It is for a pull on Abdallah Sima. And I know, right, we will debate it, I'm sure, later on, Monday night, so on. Even if it is a stonewaller, there's bound to be people who don't think it should have been given, all the rest of it. But see, before we even get to that, why are players still pulling each other? Because see, this defence that you sometimes hear, and I get it, because that's what you do as a fan, where you say, but, you know, is there enough of a pull? And how come it wasn't given at the other end? And I get all that, and that is all legitimate. But in terms of controlling what you can control, why are players pulling each other in the VAR age?
There's just no explanation for it. Because I know they're going to...
Lazy defending, would you say, Mark?
Probably, yeah. Probably a bit of both, what you said there. Reflex action, but lazy defending. You know, the attacker just getting that half yard on you. But you've got to get it drilled into your head now that there's just every chance that's going to be given against you, apparently. So players need to start understanding that. But we've not seen it. But a pull's a pull.
No, like I said,
if it's spotted, it should be given.
I'm not saying on this occasion there isn't room for debate, and I get the frustration. And people, like I say, people will compare incidents and then say, "Oh, because we know that it can be a bit of a grey area where the referees can ask to judge. You know, what impact does it have? Is it stopping the player getting to the ball? That's why not every short pull is a penalty. They try and look at, is the player getting to the ball? Is the pulling prolonged? Is the player sort of, you know, clearly in front of the opponent where he's getting away from him, and then he's pulled back? So there's different criteria. But like you say, Gordon, you know, we've seen now, because of the handball, we've seen the thing, you know, where defenders put the hands behind the back sort of thing. I'm just surprised that we've not quite caught up yet and that you just, because even I get the argument, Marco, I'm sure, tell us, if you lose your man at a corner, you're going to get lambasted for that. But surely now players would be quite within the right to say, well, I can't pull him either.
Yeah, because you're going to give the danger away of a penalty kick, and that's what's happened today. We've not seen it, so it's hard to comment on it. But you're right. I think that players have got to get a little bit more intelligent in the box now. You know, there's marking and try to, as Mark quite rightly says, we've been there. If you lose your man and he puts the ball in the back of the net, you know you're getting a roasting off the manager. So sometimes it's just out of desperation. And you're hoping that you're going to get away with it, but obviously it's not happening for Dundee.
I wonder the best way of combating it, though, if you're a manager, because it's going to continue to happen. Players are, if you're asking players to man mark, and so much is on the line at set pieces, and it's just that wee split second. Hugh's right, it's a reflex action sometimes. Wonder if managers will start going zonal, just marking your zone. Now, some managers prefer that. I think Martin O'Neill's team used to mark zonally and just command their area, so they're not even touching a player.
Here's the thing, this is the thing. Hopefully, you're still allowed a bit of physical contact. That's the point. And see if you two are right next to each other, you know, kind of shoulder to shoulder, and you maybe grab his shirt a little bit. You still might get away with that one. It's the one where he's running away from you, so you've got your hand at full stretch.
Yeah.
You then see the shirt getting put. They're just getting given all the time, and for the umpteenth time before people put words in the mouth. Not necessarily saying that is applied here, but generally the ones we've seen this season, we do have a goal elsewhere to tell you about.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Livy nil, Hibs 1, and it's that man Martin Boyle. Quite often Hibs' main attacking threat, maybe not at his flying best this season, but he guided it, and it might have taken a bit of a deflection, and it's probably harsh on Livy on the balance of play, but there we go.
Well, on the basis that Livy have now gone 9 hours without scoring a goal, that's finished, that's what we're done with then. Hibs will get 3 points there. Your argument,
that one already.
Yeah. That's it. They haven't scored for 9 hours. What are they going to do with this?
Well, they've got to get a goal sometime. They can't
all of your arguments right about penalties and reflex action and this, that, the other, all very compelling, all very sensible. But you're looking at social media now, Gordon, and I know social media's reaction is Rangers get another penalty. It's a fix.
It's a fix. But for Martin Boyle, I've seen 300 appearances for Hibs. That's some return. But he's definitely a threat. I mean, not as quick as the guy to my left, apparently, when he was playing, but flying machine
quick,
who can finish.
Yeah. The Hearts fans are in good voice at Pittodrie, and understandably so, because it came at the same time as all that drama at Ibrox. We overlooked it a little bit, but they will be expecting a response before the break.
Would they give him? Would they give him cup final?
Oh, such a strange scenario, isn't it?
I personally think they would, for this reason, that if you remove the manager tonight, assuming that he loses the game, if you remove the manager, you kind of, and then you get the AGM on Monday, you're kind of throwing the club into turmoil. I mean, they have no chance whatsoever as things stand, but you're making it even
worse.
But
you did say that at Pittodrie a couple of weeks ago. You think you would learn your lesson?
No, it's panto season. I mean, but seriously, you throw the club into the kind of turmoil that you really don't need in the lead up to a cup final.
Yeah, I think, I mean, what's the message there then, that you think, the reason you don't have a chance of beating Rangers in the cup final is because Barry Robson's the manager?
No.
I get the point that obviously a run of defeats, a bad run of form, eventually leads to a manager losing his job. What sort of roll of the dice is it to just sack him cup final week?
Yeah, but especially when they've got the AGM, they might just cover themselves with, because they're going to come in for a lot of criticism at that AGM if Aberdeen lose today. Let's be honest,
you're still the board that appointed them or whatever, so it's not like they would turn up midweek and say, "Oh, you know, great call, well done," and we move on.
Yeah, I don't particularly think that they will stick with him if he loses today.
Seriously,
yeah. Yeah, I think you could be out of a job.
Days before a cup final.
Well, it's a week. I think you could be out of a job.
Aberdeen fans are actually getting right behind the team at the moment. They are trying to spur them on. It's another goal for Lawrence Shankland, though. And as we said, everything along these lines is viewed through a German lens for now, Hugh. That'll do his chances every time. No harm.
Yeah, you know, as long as he maintains that kind of form, he'll have all manner of controversy to deal with, because in the January window, the Rangers fans will want Shankland at Ibrox. Hearts will have to contend with that kind of pressure. And Philippe Clement, you know, already people speaking about the hug he gave Shankland after the game midweek, when he said, "What's your sort code and what's your account number?" So, you know, but fair play to Shankland. No matter what is written or said about him, he just keeps on scoring.
Yeah, he certainly does at the moment. I tell you what a week it was, because obviously we were reflecting on the Euro draw and so on. And, you know, back at the start of the week, we were speaking about the Euros and talking about, you know, how exciting it would be to get there. John had more than one camper van hire company.
We should go
get in touch to say that they would that they could hook us up with a camper van.
Oh, really?
To drive to
what? And oh,
to Germany,
right?
So what way would we go down M6?
He can't drive, Mr. Keevans. Your sense of direction's not great.
Ah, sat nav away ago.
So I think you and I are going to be sharing the and you are fond of German beer or two.
He likes.
I'm going to be the one driving.
You
the
drive. That'd
back.
Be great, and we you could just entertain you. Aye,
that'd be great.
Carry up
my dinner.
It's the music on. Proclaimers.
Blimey, music away you go.
Brilliant, wouldn't it?
Turn scarves out the window.
Aye, we'll get back to that.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Rangers 3, Dundee 1, and he's rediscovered his goal-scoring touch in recent games, hasn't he? It's Abdallah Sima, towering header from a corner. He has been Rangers' main goal threat all season, really, particularly in these last couple of games. It's a good return from the on-loan Brighton man. Conversations will follow about whether Rangers should try and keep him, but he's here for now, and he's put Rangers 3-1 up already.
I don't think there's any doubt that they should try and keep him. It's the cost of keeping him that will be the contentious issue for Rangers, but it's almost as if Dundee's opening goal just annoyed Rangers. You know, the game's out of sight now, and we're not even at half time.
Scored too early, that's what they say. Whatever that means. Yeah.
Sima's been excellent though, and especially in recent weeks, takes him up to 9 in the league, so he's ahead
of
talent.
Was he 12 all competitions?
Probably, yeah. But he's
maybe 13.
We were chatting about midweek, that run he makes for the goal at Tynecastle. I'm not too sure if Rangers have had much of that in recent years, where the winger comes inside. A good finish, and another one today. So I'm with you. I don't think there's any argument about if Rangers would want to keep him, but comes at a price.
A header this time as well, Gordon, front post, 13 for the season, all competition. So there's a bit of variety in the goals there, because he is an aerial threat as well.
Yeah, that's a good thing about it. You know, he's getting different kinds of goals, making good runs. He's a danger in the box from the wide areas as well. He can go and obviously score from a header. He's been a good player for Rangers, I've got to say. I thought he had a slow start, but he's certainly come on. More games he's playing, the better he's getting. He's scoring goals, he's playing with confidence. Yes, the guys are right. I think Rangers would snap your hand off to keep him. It's just financially.
Arbroath 0, Morton 1, Lewis McGrattan on 37 minutes there. The Palmerston Peps, Queen of the South, are 3-0 up at Montrose.
Wow.
I really look forward to him returning to the show this midweek after a lengthy absence.
There's a wee team talk I gave him. I just gave him
a few pointers, just a bit
of encouragement. I left him feeling really good about himself, and he's obviously
If he was in the gym next to you, he would have left feeling good about himself. Believe me, that's a guarantee.
What were you doing today in the gym?
Obviously,
and sauna.
No, I don't do the saunas. No,
aye, that's only because it's shut for refurbishment.
I'll wait to go on holiday for a sauna. I'm more of a bicep man today.
Oh, right.
Bicep.
Sounds like the worst superhero of all time, doesn't it?
Bicep man.
I'll tell you what. You wait to see me with my shorts on in the summer, my flip flops.
I'd rather not.
Walking down that German main road. the camper van in the distance.
Dundee have the ball in the net. The flag's up for offside though, and maybe even a foul on Jack Butland at the same time. It all combines to mean that play on in the end. Kevin Clancy delayed the restart for a moment or two. We've had a check and away we go. Yes, so the camper van, do you fancy that? I mean, I'd much rather fly. I'd much rather that we didn't have
I would rather go in the camper
van. I like the camper van idea.
Yeah, but I'll be the one that needs to drive.
That's what I like about it.
No, we'll share.
You won't. You won't.
I'll do the M6.
Trust me, this
I know
been,
that road.
We
can all have our
life.
Jobs.
I've
Gordon Drive.
Before.
Right, where do we
I'll
go?
Navigate.
Do we go to Dover?
Yes, I would.
And go on a boat?
So.
Hull? Well, no, you can get it through Hull, can't you?
Or do we go on the train through the tunnel?
Various options.
Who picks the music?
None of you three.
No?
I'd put together a 90s playlist.
I saw the way you were dancing along to Rick Astley.
Ah, how good was that?
Oh, Rick Astley was brilliant.
It was great of you to come dressed up as him as well. I thought there was an uncanny resemblance.
A couple
there.
Of people had said if Rick could take Mill, I would be a suitable stand-in. But when Rick finished, the Venga boys came on and I got dragged up for. I was at the front
on,
of the Venga boys.
That.
No, not the actual Venga boys.
The
music,
the
song came on.
Who's that?
The Venga bus is coming.
Well, that would be us then.
I was at the front of the bus.
That would be our theme
waiting
tune.
The train on the dance floor.
The Arsene Wenger.
Something like that.
Venga boys.
But Rick Astley was brilliant. What about when he went in the drums?
I agree.
I was very good. I really enjoyed him. I've got to say, I thought it was an excellent performance.
And then
nothing to be ashamed of.
Then revealed that his daughter's marrying a Glaswegian. So there you are.
Where would Rick be?
Oh, he's looking good, isn't he?
Are you on first name terms now? Rick?
Well, I grew up with him. What age would he be?
Not like
he must be 55, I'm going to say.
Did Rick live in Airbrose Road?
No, but
57 he is.
57? Oh, no, close, well, I'm only 2-3 years in front of him.
Yeah. So, 4.
Four, right, Gordon.
Just to be accurate.
was that your era?
Yeah, a bit of Rick and on you go. And they've gone, gave you up. And I was right up in the dance floor.
I'll bet.
Whether it is a camper van or not, I'm not sure I could be locked in a confined space with you three for that length of time. But it was quite the week. So we had a caller as well. I don't know if you remember, it was Monday night. Guy called in from Nuremberg in Germany.
Yeah.
And he was chatting about how there's a lot of Scotland fans there. They'd love to have us over. So there was Do you remember that?
I heard them.
Then there was an update on that. You know how parents are proud of their kids, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's classic, right? And the guy didn't crack a light. He just said he was a Scotland fan. I'm sure it was a family member called in a few nights later and didn't want on. He said, see, just to let you know, that was my son that phoned in. And the reason he's in Nuremberg is because he works for Adidas and he designed that beautiful 150th anniversary.
No way.
Trip.
He's our man.
See the messages I've received this week. Also received a message from another guy, and I'll leave his name out just in case he wants it. And he told me some of the rock stars that he used to manage. Quite a list of rascals.
Aye.
And said, I'm great connections in Germany. If I've handled X, Y, and Z, I can handle Kevens Wilson and DL.
This is turning into be a good summer.
I like Germany.
Send me an email.
I like Germany. It's a lovely country.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, let's get the tour booked. Camper van.
It's a long way, but.
Thanks for that insight. Yes.
Well, you can stay at home if you want.
How are you driving on the Autobahn, Dazzler?
I've never really driven abroad. I don't even do it.
Oh, do you not?
No,
I'm always car hire everywhere I go.
Nah, it's not for me.
He's just done himself out. I am not getting in the car with him.
I'll do the M6. I know the M6. I know every service station, the M6. Where you boys want to go and stop.
There's quite a bit to go after that.
I know, but that's where I've done my bit.
M6, from
Dover.
Venue to venue.
The White Cliffs. I'm looking at the White Cliffs.
Straight off.
I'm getting out the front seat and giving the keys to somebody else. I'm passing the baton.
Falkirk 1, Kelty 0, Aidan Nisbet with the goal. We're in that good time to score territory, aren't we? Just before the break, Clyde 2, Stranraer 1, Liam Scullion with the goal there. Nothing much else doing. Fir Park sounds nervy and quiet and dull.
Is Fraser's also up Fir Park today?
Yeah, that's who I was talking about. No, in all seriousness, he actually said there was a bit of a better spell from Motherwell, a bit of a spell on top. Gent and Spittle had at least shots on target, saved by Mitov, who we know has been excellent so far since he signed for St Johnstone. I think we could probably, Hugh, round this off.
You get four.
The first half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Oh, hold on, let me pause that, because you know I've got a bit of we've got priorities here sometimes, and if we've got some drama, I should probably tell you about them. Let me tell you about this.
Goal flashes.
Oh,
what?
Do you like that? Well, Todd Cantwell went through and he scored, but the foul had been given just before. Like, the goal music played in the stadium and the scoreboard changed and Sky Sports News changed. But that can't be checked by VAR because the whistle went before the goal. So there could be a real inquest there if that turns out that play should have gone on. Bit of a strange one because obviously you're encouraged to sort of, or not encouraged, but you think, well, you let the goal stand, yeah, and then you can always rule it out the other way. But it's not going to stand, and Rangers are 3-1 up. To be fair to Kevin Clancy, it's an early enough whistle. Like, it's not like he blew it just as Cantwell put the ball in the back of the net. But nevertheless, it's 3-1 for a foul on a Dundee player. Queen of the South 4-0 up. Marvin, yeah, Bartley, what a day he's having. Hugh, we'll ditch the music, just give us the question and the answers, please.
There have been 5 Swiss players at Celtic or Rangers since season 2016-2017. They are Cedric Eaton, Philippe Senderos, Albion Ayeti, Benjamin Segrist, and Florian Camberi.
Segrist was the one.
Segrist, you should have got him.
Well, we don't see very much of him anymore. John Williams, well done to you. John, third fastest. Matondo in second. And Moif, if I've said that right, I don't know. He's number one. So there we go. Happy with that? What did you two?
4.
Well, we got 4 between us, yeah.
Well, I get 4.
You could get 4. I didn't contribute that much.
You could easily forget Segrist. I mean, signed in 2022, will go in January if Celtic can find anybody. They found somebody to take Barkas, therefore you can find somebody to take anybody.
That is a good point here, yeah. But it's been an area that's plagued Celtic for a long time now. Well, Joe Hart's been there, but you think before him, the number one goalkeeper, the backup goalkeeper, there's never been that real competition to push Hart in recent years. So I wonder if Celtic will address that. Everybody talks about a defender or a striker for Celtic. I wonder if Brendan Rodgers will be looking for a goalkeeper as well.
Half-time whistles are starting to go. It's usually down the leagues because they don't have these VAR delays, so they're fine. Good turnaround there for Stirling Albion. Edinburgh City 1, Stirling Albion 2. Jack Leach with the goal, 46 minutes. I've told you there before, a wee family connection there for me.
Jack,
that's a happy household. That
done well for us at Airdrie,
incidentally, plays for Edinburgh City, but I didn't see him in the squad today, so that could have been a family affair on the opposition, on opposing sides, I should say. Half time in that one. Half time starting to go. None yet, I don't think, in the games out in the Premiership. Bit of a weird spell there at Ibrox as well. So Dessers has a shot blocked. Cantwell save. Tavernier cross hits the bar. Dessers goes for an overhead kick and thinks he's been fouled. It then is a free kick to Dundee after all that in the space of like 20 seconds. So
sounds like Rangers are battering them now, Gordon, after losing that early goal. Dundee under a bit of pressure. They'll need to regroup at half time, because the way that you're sounding there, it looks like it'll be more goals in the second half.
You mean regroup in order not to lose 7 or 8?
Yeah. Scored one of my hat tricks against Dundee for Rangers. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Uh-huh.
Well, say that again.
Scored one of my hat tricks for Rangers against Dundee.
I think you said Dundee against Rangers a minute ago. No, that's why it confused
me. How many hat tricks do you get for Rangers?
One. I think. Definitely against Dundee.
How can you not know your own career?
Because it was that long ago.
Memory loss, that's why.
It was that long ago. I'll only think about
it. Have you still got
now
the balls that you got for your season?
No.
I would need a new hoose.
Hold on, in all seriousness, not just about you being old, was that a thing?
What? Yeah.
Are you sure?
Got a match ball?
Yeah.
Why is that only a new thing, Gordon?
What
do you think in recent times?
There must have been it. Right, there you are. There's your task. Find out when did that start becoming a custom. It can't have been forever. You're not telling me back. I believe you, but I'm saying at what point was that introduced? That to me strikes me. It can't have been before the
80s. I get B&Q vouchers as well once. I think anyway, I've still got them if anybody wants them.
Half time at Fir Park, Fraser.
Yeah, it will be a long report here. Motherwell 0, St Johnstone 0, no goals. Played a pretty subdued atmosphere, little to lift either set of supporters. Really slow start to the game, cautioned by both sides, but that's understandable. Motherwell, of course, in poor form. St Johnstone, the away side, happy to sit back, and there's 20 minutes before we'd even hit ball near either goal. And it was a low Tony Gallagher cross was punched away by Liam Kelly. Rebound shot at goal by Graham Carey, but straight at Kelly, who saved comfortably. Motherwell had been struggling to create anything in a good 5 minute spell. On the 27th minute, first effort to goal, George Gent's shot was deflected, but held at his near post by Mitov. Gent then drove in a lovely cross from the left hand side. Motherwell had four players in the box, but none of them could get a touch. And then Blair Spittle was next up to try his luck from 18 yards. The left foot shot deflected again, spilled by Mitov and cleared by Liam Gordon. And that was pretty much it. Nothing else really to report on, other than just before the whistle, Diasemi made good ground the left hand side, drove a left foot cross across the face of goal, but hit it too hard, and although Chris Kane dived, he couldn't get a touch on the ball and the chance was gone. Been nervy, I think both teams very wary of making the first mistake in a big second 45 minutes ahead, particularly for Motherwell. The first goal here could settle this game. Half time at Fir Park, Motherwell 0, St Johnstone 0.
Oh, that sounds tense, that sounds nervy. What about Pittodrie, Dave Galloway?
Half time, Aberdeen 0, Hearts 1, and loud boos were sent ringing round the stadium at the referee's half time whistle. The visitors made much the better start. Frankie Kent's header and Alex Lowry's drive easily dealt with by Keller Roos, but they deservedly went in front after 20 minutes. A corner was swung in from the far side. The marking was very poor, and Lawrence Shankland scored at the back post with a diving header. Aberdeen eventually started coming a bit more into things. Leighton Clarkson was picked out by Johnny Hayes, free kick, and he drove just wide from the edge of the box. The Dons enjoyed a bit of pressure as the first half wore on, forcing a couple of corners that came to nothing. Then Graham Shinney let fly from around 30 yards. His effort wasn't far away from the right hand post, but the Dons haven't forced Xander Clark into a serious save. A massive second half to come. It's Aberdeen 0, Hearts 1.
Kevin Clancy's going to the screen again at Ibrox. He's had a very busy afternoon. He managed to give Rangers a penalty earlier on. He was the source of frustration for Rangers fans when he ruled out a goalies. Now, this could be a red card for Jose Cifuentes. It was on Bakayoko. It was an off-the-ball incident, and he was initially booked. Now, remember, VAR can upgrade that to red. And if he's going to the screen, you have to imagine that Jose Cifuentes could be looking at a red card here. Rangers are 3-1 up, though. Would that be enough for a Dundee comeback in the second half? Who knows? So I'll stay with that one for now. Just very quickly, yeah, straight red, Jose Cifuentes. The yellow goes back in the pocket, the red comes out, and Rangers are down to 10 men. They will go into the break 3-1 up, but they're going to be down to 10 men for the entirety of the second half. So a dramatic day at Ibrox. Now, I need to, I generally consult Fraser Wishart on these issues because he keeps us right. Would he be banned for the cup final? There's a possibility. Straight red card, serious foul play. I think that might be the case, but I'll double check. I will double check. Don't want to give you false information.
It's an incredibly foolish incident because, I mean, you're 3-1 up and cruising. You are in no danger whatsoever. Your goal is not in any danger whatsoever. And to be serious foul play, he's sent off for stupidity. And I don't think he's got any argument whatsoever.
Half time, Ibrox, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, Rangers 3, Dundee 1, the half-time score. It was an early scare for Philip Clement's side, but they've turned it around and are now ahead at the break. It looked as if Rangers weren't going to be at it from the start. It was an effort from Jose Cifuentes. Inside 20 seconds, that one was easily saved by Trevor Carson, but Dundee had ideas of their own. Lyle Cameron threw one-on-one with Jack Butland, but he produced a big save down low to his left to tip it out for a corner, but he couldn't keep it out from the resulting corner. It went deep. The header back across was then met by Amadou Bakayoko to slide in to silence the Ibrox crowd, but Rangers didn't let that rattle them though, and they hit back well. 20 minutes in, it was worked into the box. Cyril Dessers had a shot blocked, it came back to him on his left foot. This one a powerful strike, deflected high into the net for 1-1. 4 minutes later, and a Rangers corner came into Abdallah Sima. He went for the header, but he was being dragged down by the shirt by Aaron Donnelly. Defenders know that they can't do that type of thing. It meant that Abdallah Sima didn't quite get the contact that he would have got otherwise. It wasn't spotted initially by Kevin Clancy. It was flagged up by VAR Stephen Kirkland. Clancy went to the screen. He took no time at all in pointing to the spot. James Tavernier stepped up to take, sent Trevor Carson the wrong way and put the home side ahead. That wasn't enough for them though. Abdallah Sima, he's rediscovered his goal scoring form recently, and he showed it this time with a towering header from a James Tavernier corner. He rose high, powered it into the top corner to extend their lead to 3-1. After that, both teams did have the ball in the net, but both times the whistle had already gone and both didn't count. Then Rangers coming so close a few times in the space of 20 seconds towards the end of the half. Cyril Dessers, he had a shot blocked that was on target. Then James Tavernier floated the ball back into the box. That one came off the bar. Just before that, Todd Cantwell had a decent effort saved by Trevor Carson as well. Cyril Dessers also attempted an overhead kick, but eventually Dundee were awarded a foul. And then it looked as if Rangers might cruise this one in the second half, the way things are going. But this incident right at the end of the half could change things, because Jose Cifuentes, it was an off-the-ball incident with Amadou Bakayoko. He was initially booked by Kevin Clancy. However, play was held up. Kevin Clancy went to the VAR screen, retracted the yellow card and gave Cifuentes a straight red. He'd looked decent in this half, Jose Cifuentes. He looked good in the second half against Hearts, but a straight red card means that Rangers will need to see out the rest of the game with 10 men. But the half-time score is Rangers 3, Dundee 1.
Very interesting first half at Ibrox. Let's try Livy. I think there's one or two technical difficulties, but David Friel has been watching the game against Hibs.
Half time, Livingston 0, Hibs 1. Livingston have now gone over 9 hours without scoring, but Martin Boyle has ended his own goal drought with the opener for Hibs. He'd gone 11 games without scoring, but it's back to his best. Brilliant low finish in 28 minutes to give Jamal George no chance. It was Harsh and Livy, they started really well. They're a better team up until that goal. Hibs boss Nick Montgomery wasn't happy with what he was seeing, but then Boyle's quality really told with that 28th minute opener. Eli Yuan raced down the left, fed Boyle inside the box. The Hibs man, making his 301st appearance for the club, guided the ball into the bottom corner to give them the lead at the break. Long way back for Livy, they need to find the goal from somewhere. Half time, Livingston 0, Hibs 1.
And let's get the picture from Paisley as well. St Mirren against Ross County, Roger Hanna.
Half time of the Smyzer, St Mirren 0, Ross County 0. Not much by way of goal scoring opportunity. Stephen Robinson's men probably just shading it. They could have been ahead after 13 minutes. Ross Laidlaw pushing away a fierce shot from Jonah Iunga. But County did push forward at the other end. Jordan White making progress on the right. His cross smuggled out for a corner. And then the big centre forward heading wide from that resulting set piece. It was a setback for the Buddies when they lost midfielder Kaelin Boyd, munched to injury with Keanu Backus coming on. But it didn't stop them pushing forward, and Greg Kilty came as close as anyone to breaking the deadlock. A smart 1-2 down the left hand side with Scott Tanzer. The ball returned into the penalty box, met by Kilty on the left foot. It beat Laidlaw, but he came back off the crossbar. At the other end, Simon Murray fired across a piece of goal from a tight angle, but it was Laidlaw that was twice called into action just before the break. First, a good save at the near post from the pacey Stav Namani in his first ever Premiership start for the Buddies, and then an even better save to deny the busy Iunga at the expense of a corner. No goal. Yes, we could do with more in the second half. St Mirren 0, Ross County 0.
What a first half that was across the country. We'll do a full roundup of the half-time scores next.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time in the Scottish Premiership. Aberdeen 0, Hearts 1, Livingston 0, Hibs 1, Motherwell 0, St Johnston 0, Rangers 3, Dundee 1, and St Mirren 0, Ross County 0. Into the Championship, Airdrie 0, Dunfermline 1, It's Arbroath 0, Morton 1, Dundee United 0, Ayr United 0, and Queen's Park 1, Inverness Cali Thistle 1. In League 1, Alloa 0, Hamilton Accies 0, Annan 1, Cove Rangers 2, Edinburgh City 1, Stirling Albion 2, Falkirk 1, Kelty Hearts 0, and Montrose 0, Queen of the South 4. In League 2, Bonnyrigg Rose 1, Peterhead 0, Clyde 2, Stranraer 1, Dumbarton 0, Stenhouse Muir 0, East Fife 2, Elgin City 0, and the Spartans 0, Forfar nil if the English Premier League floats your boat. There was a full-time result. Palace 1, Liverpool 2. At the break, Brighton 0, Burnley 1, Man United 0, Bournemouth 1, Sheffield United 1, Brentford 0, and Wolves 1, Nottingham Forest 1. And the second halves are coming up next.